Now, News Talk Radio CJAD 800 gives you Open Mic Night.
Here in the dark, I can see who you are. I see so clearly. The beat of my heart just stops and starts. Whenever you're near me, I just gotta thank you. All the love I gave you came and you took it all away.
Welcome, I'm your girl, your hostess with the mostest tonight. Shirley Joseph right here with...
Clove.
My clove.
Yes.
My vanilla.
Your vanilla lover.
Yes, we're going to be hanging out with you for the next couple of hours right here on Open Mic Night. And we're really happy to be here. And while we're talking, if you're enjoying what we've been talking about and you're like, I like these guys, you can check us out at our podcast that we host on a weekly basis. It's called Chonilla. It's a portmanteau of chocolate and vanilla.
Wow.
Yeah, I use the word. I learned the word portmanteau and now I'm using it.
I'm going to use it tonight.
Yes. I feel so smart. How you doing, honey?
I'm doing okay. I mean, I'm just getting over this cough and, you know, I had a little fight with the street the other day. So,
yes.
Yeah.
It was Clove versus the streets of Montreal.
I'm kind of loaded up on codeine right now, so feeling pretty good.
And you called me on Friday night and you said, the streets of Montreal won?
Yeah.
And now I have a black eye.
Oh, my gosh.
What happened?
I didn't even realize. Well, I slipped on the ice, right? But I tried to catch myself. And when I went to catch myself, my hand slipped as well. So I was on the sidewalk and I slipped out into the street. And then when my hand hit the street, it slipped out from under me and I hit the corner right above my eye socket.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it, I guess it ruptured something inside because it is all kinds of purple and red.
Yeah.
Around my eyeball. Yeah.
And the worst you're telling me is that people were laughing at you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're awesome, MPL.
I was down on the ground and I looked like I was doing kind of like a breakdance power move. Like a face stand or something. I don't know what it's called. But and I could hear people laughing, like burst laughing.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
Like, no.
I didn't even look back at them or anything like that. I got up just hoping that I didn't, you know, smash my face in and that we had to cancel the show that night.
Yeah.
But all in all, worked out okay. Worked out okay.
Well, I'm glad that it wasn't anything
brain damage-y. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you weren't helping either, trying to, you know, playing, basically trolling me and just pretending like, oh, I feel woozy the whole night. I'm like, Clove!
Is it okay if I fall asleep now?
Just not cool, man.
No.
Not cool. Obviously, we know, and by now it's been out in the news about the police in LaSalle that's on high alert about a report of a suspected predator in our neighborhood, actually. And I remember 2 weeks ago we got a letter, it was a Friday, and it said basically that...
So the school gave our daughters a letter to bring home.
Yeah.
For like a notice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so it said that... the predator was near the school and asked the girl for help to find his missing dog and offered her candy in exchange for her assistance.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So good for the girl to have said something to, you know, not fall for it, but actually to have the courage to say something
about
it too, because it's help not just for her, but all the kids at the school. But this made me think, you know, I think that same weekend, it was Friday when we got the letter.
Yeah.
And I think we started doing the girl's hair on Sunday and we decided like, okay, remember we were talking to each other like, okay, so how are we going to talk about this?
Right.
How do we, you know?
How do we bring this up to the girls?
Yeah. And for me, it's like it can sometimes be a trigger for me because based of what happened to me as a child.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was a challenge for me because I had to fight on not communicating in a way to freak them out.
Just out of curiosity, how many parents do you think out there dealt with some childhood trauma and experienced triggers, but they still haven't dealt with their issues?
Oh.
Like from their kids, triggers from their kids.
Oh, like let's say in a situation like that.
Yeah.
That could do it.
Right.
Getting a letter like this and you have not dealt with, you know, maybe something that you've suppressed, an abuse that you've suppressed for a long time, and then one day you, that letter can be, can open Pandora's box.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So,
because that's what we were thinking. We were like, how do we tell the girls this? How do we let them know now that there's a danger element in their world?
Right. Yeah. So the way we said, how did we say it to the girls? I think we said, so listen. Oh, right. Because they are even wondering, what's the letter about? Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so we said, well, basically, this is what happened. We gave the details of what happened with the man. Mm-hmm. And we're like, you know, it's a good thing that this girl, she said something. She spoke to an adult. Mm-hmm. And just so you know.
I think we also said not all grown-ups are nice people.
Right. And it's something we've always communicated to all our kids, you know, I'd say since starting school, kindergarten, really. So I saw this article because it made me think, I was thinking, I hope that I didn't freak them out. Cause that's, again, my biggest challenge. I don't want to freak them out and just, you know, the energy of what I've gone through would go into how I'm communicating to them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, you don't want to paint like a really gloomy picture
right,
of life.
It's like the boogeyman is out there and you just don't know when he's going to, or she, it could be he or she sometimes can pop up, right?
Yeah. And I'm sure that there's parents that will go all out and saying like, you know, don't talk to anybody. Everybody is out there to get you. You know what I mean? Like I'm sure like some parents experience some paranoia that they then push onto their children. And you know what? They're doing it out of a good heart. You know, they're doing it because they think that's what they need to do to protect their children. They just don't know any better.
Right. So I saw this cool article on Cleveland.com. It's how to talk to small children about sexual predators. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest thing that was there was here are some of the things. This is from Barbara Streeter. She's an education director. And she says, always treat your child with respect physically and emotionally.
Yes.
That's huge in order for them to have the, you know, gain the confidence to protect themselves, you know. Mm-hmm. Listen to and observe what he or she likes or dislike and respond accordingly. Protect her or him from intrusions of other adults, you know, like unwanted kisses or hugs or tickles, jokes, you know, which is true because I remember growing up, you know, we'd go to like Haitian functions and stuff like that. And I was always like, hey, because that's a thing. Like you have to kiss. It's a French culture, right?
Right.
Do the kiss and everything.
Maybe that's why I don't like that.
Cheek kiss.
Maybe that's why I don't like that custom. I'm not really a big fan of that.
Yeah, especially I think little kids, but I used to
feel like
be
a weirdo
forced.
Though.
My parents were like, "Oh, you're being rude."
Yeah, but I do feel like a weirdo when you'll have girlfriends come over and I'm just kind of like shaking their hand, like, "Hey, what's going on?" You know, I don't go in for that like left and right kiss thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Feel weirds you out?
Yeah, no, it weirds me out, but it also makes me feel like a weirdo that it weirds me out. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, hey, what's up?
What would you rather do? Do you want to pound my girlfriends?
Did you hear what you just said?
No, fist bump. Oh, good night, everybody.
Yes, I'd like to pound your girlfriends.
No, I meant to say fist bump.
Sure you did. Speaking of fist bump, let's check in with Chris Reiser.
We're gonna
with
fist
traffic.
Bump Chris Reiser.
CJD 800 Traffic Center.
Yes, let's hear what's going on the road in these MTL streets.
Yes.
Not even I can save this one. You're on your own, kid.
Yeah.
Keeping it real, son. That's right. The shining star. You're my shining star, girl.
Yo, New York in the house. It's Brooklyn in the house.
That's right.
Uptown in the house.
Let's go.
Share your thoughts. Call Open Mic Night at 514-790-0800 or text 514-800.
West Coast, are you in the house? Japan, are you in the house? Everybody, are you in the house? Baby, baby, come on.
Baby, come on. Baby, come on.
R.I.P.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, Open Mic Night. It's your girl Shirley with Clove.
What's up, everybody?
And we have our foot soldier Rich, who's with us as well from
Rich Jones.
com podcast, and Trana Wintour.
Yeah,
is here hanging out with us. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for playing the Mariah.
You're welcome. You look good.
Thank you. So do you.
Thank you. I was like, you know what? I need to keep my. I was gonna come in a hot mess, and I was like, no. Trana looks like she keeps it together.
She's
on fleek, yeah.
And so I need to be a little bit more on, you know, have some form of fleekness.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
Fleek-ish. I'm glad that I could inspire that.
Thank you. So how's it going? How was your week so far?
It's been a good week. This was my quiet week. The rest of the month is kind of crazy, so yeah, I just took it easy this week.
Yeah, good. We all need those moments. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I need my chill, recharge, put on the Mariah moments.
You've been making some serious moves in the past year, right? You get a lot of notoriety.
Yeah, it's coming together.
Yeah.
It's kind of surreal, you know. I don't really think about it that much. I just keep focused on doing my thing. But yeah, it's been amazing the past year.
Oh, good. Well, we're going to get into that for sure. I guess I wanted to get your thoughts on a few things that's going on. One of them is, you know, Montreal doctors are advises getting vaccinated to avoid measles outbreak. Because there's been a few cases, suspected cases in the Lanaudière region, and measles was declared officially eradicated in 2000, and now
coming back.
Now we
have hipsters. Yeah.
Okay, Clove. Really?
Just saying. Just saying.
And then now in Toronto, there was a measles patient that visited the St. Joseph Hospital.
Yes.
And that happened between January 27th and the 29th. So measles, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you don't when you make the choice to not vaccinate your kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Do you think it's like maybe people just too busy and they're like, oh, I'll get...
No,
measles is not out there.
I've known a couple that is like straight up, I'm not vaccinating my kids. Like they're totally bought into how the vaccinations are associated with autism and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Trana? What do you think of all this?
This is the uncensored show?
No,
yes.
this is the censored show.
Yeah. This is the censored. We'll do the uncensored on
Oh, this is the censored part?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. Okay, thank God I asked first.
Yes.
Because I was ready to go a little nuts
here
on these crazy Americans and their ridiculous ways.
Yeah.
And it horrifies me that the stupidity of people, you know, ends up hurting, you know, innocent people. It happens all the time, you know, and this is really scary to see, especially the fact that it was eradicated.
Yeah.
And it's making a comeback due to the fact that people have made this ridiculous, insane decision that shouldn't even be allowed to be made. Mm-hmm. You know, these vaccinations should just be standard for everyone, period. This should not be the parents' call, you know.
Right.
And it was predicted that this would come back. When this was happening, when parents were making that choice.
Yeah.
It was it was predicted that if you don't do this, these diseases could come back. Yeah.
It's going to be, I mean, I don't want that to happen, but if polio, that's scary. Let's not get to the point where we're not going out there and getting our kids vaccinated and now polio is kicking in.
I think anytime you're making a choice that goes directly against the well-being and health of your child,
you
got to be looked at. You know, there's got to be a conversation that needs to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an insane percentage in the U.S. of people that do not believe in science.
Right.
You know, these are the people who believe that we were on the earth at the same time as dinosaurs.
Yeah, they don't value
evidence.
These are
the people who don't believe in evolution and what have you, you know? And it's scary just how numerous they are and how powerful they are in the sense that these decisions that they make ultimately have an influence on everyone and everyone's lives.
Exactly.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Cue the return of the measles, right?
Yeah. That's very, very scary. And some more just to move on. Bruce Jenner and the trans community, which I was really surprised, are upset about
Can I
Bruce.
Ask who's Bruce Jenner without looking like a total weirdo?
Okay. You know, keeping up with the Kardashian, that's the best way I could do it.
Okay, yeah.
The father.
Gotcha.
You know who I'm talking. He was an Olympian.
Sure. Okay. Yes. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess people in the transgender community are angry at Bruce for packaging his announcement that he's becoming a woman into a TV show.
Okay.
And so they're saying that he's more interested in money than setting an example.
Okay.
And so Zori Tour actually is one of them, a leader in the LA transgender community, told TMZ Live that there's a lot of anger because they don't have any real role model
right
now. And this is an opportunity where someone like himself, a world-class athlete, could literally save lives by example. So there's a clip, actually. I don't know if you
I got a TMZ clip here that I can play.
Where Zoe talked further on that.
So the transgender community, the way I understand it, has a problem with the way this whole thing is rolling out with Bruce Jenner.
We do. And that is that a lot of people are very suspicious of what's going on because of the connection with the Kardashians. And they feel that if Bruce is transgender, come out with it. You know, speak up. We have a 42% suicide attempt rate, 6 times the national average on suicide. We need our role models, and there's no greater role model than the world's greatest athlete. I mean, what's the big deal? And many feel that, you know, Jenner is pitching a reality show and using this buildup to gain more momentum and get paid to do an interview. And they don't like it because this is a civil rights battle. This is not about selling TV shows. This is about saving lives. You know, Harvey Milk said that it was really important for gays and lesbians to come out to their families, to their friends and coworkers, because that's how we're going to gain acceptance.
Yeah. So, again, that was a surprise to me.
Right.
But I get where Zoe is going with that. Okay. It makes you question, like, well, dude, really?
Okay. So there's a part of me that wants to say he's using his skills to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I totally disagree with this. I mean, he's going through something in his life that I guess he wants to share and he could profit from, and he's willing to profit from it.
I wonder if he wants to profit from it too in order to go through the transition and everything like
right.
that. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
I don't know, Chandler, what do you think about?
Well, I don't think he needs anyone's money.
No, right?
I'm sure that's well taken care of.
Yeah.
Right.
What I don't understand from the person who was speaking in that clip is, why are we looking to Bruce Jenner to be our role model, please?
Yeah.
This is someone who married Kris Jenner. This is someone who married into the Kardashian family and their madness. This
right.
is not someone to look up to as a role model in any capacity,
right.
transgendered or not.
Yeah,
you know?
let's just keep it as
entertainment. Let's not try to make Bruce Jenner an example.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you think that he should have just kept, just not even go through this whole idea of a reality TV and his transformation?
I guess, you know, he's pulled into that world. And then once you become a part of that world, it's very hard to leave. You get seduced by the idea of fame. And
right.
once you're a part of that game and once you're a part of that scene, it's very hard to leave. And
right.
now that he's divorced from Kris Jenner, this is his way of staying in, you know, the spotlight.
True.
I don't have any suspicion about him being transgender. I highly doubt anyone would undergo this kind of transformation
right.
Just to stay in the spotlight. But it coincides, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
his sort of moment of transition that's happening now coincides with this moment for him to remain in the spotlight.
Right.
So,
right.
I was surprised actually too that he wanted to do this because I have a confession.
Okay. You're a man.
No. I have seen a few episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Okay.
I hate to admit this.
Ratchet.
But, and one thing that popped in my mind is, for the most part, when you watch it, is all you see is not Kris Jenner, but Bruce, just complaining about being on the show, you know? Like, there was just a sense like, there was always a vibe of, I hate doing this. Why am I here?
Gosh.
And so to hear him pitch this idea and doing this, it's I see the questionable aspect of it.
Well, it hasn't been confirmed yet. So maybe I think that he would be a greater example not doing the reality TV show, just someone who is approaching this moment in their lives with dignity and self-respect.
Yeah.
Let's hear what's happening on the road at the CJD News Traffic Center with Chris Reiser. Chris?
You're listening to Open Mic Night on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800. You believe in love? Because I got something to say about it. And it goes something like this.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
We're back. I was really enjoying this.
Yeah, you're listening to Open Mic Night with myself, Clove, and Shirley.
Yes. Yes, MTL. And we got Trana hanging with us.
Trana Winter.
Thanks for playing my jam.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, you know, when I saw the video and I was getting all the music and everything, I forgot, you know that part in the video where there's that muscle guy that turns?
Oh, yeah, turning the crank.
Right? I always thought Madonna must have slept with that dude.
Probably. I mean, she was in a very emotionally frail moment during that time, just having left Sean Penn in that mess. You know, maybe she was feeling a little vulnerable.
Yeah. Do you think, though, that song does have some similarities to that Lady Gaga song?
You know, when I first heard that Lady Gaga song, I didn't hear it. It never even occurred to me to think of Express Yourself. But I mean, yeah, there are similarities for sure, but I don't think it was a copy.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
People need to get over it.
Born This Way and how Born This Way and then this song, that there were some similarities in sound and all that.
So all the Madonna fans were like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I guess so.
She's totally biting Madonna style.
Right. Speaking of, we're talking about guests tonight. Her cool name is created during Halloween by a super boss editor-in-chief of Vogue magazine. And in the past year, her ambition as a comic is unparalleled in MTL. And she continues to up her hilariousness in this city, inspired by female comedians like Sandra Bernhardt, just like her inspiration. Tonight's guest is smart, sharp, glamorous. You should see her shoe, man.
Oh, she's done
her
up.
Shoes are woo
from the floor up. Yeah.
Yes, loving and real, which I really connect. Plus, she's so cool to talk. Let's welcome Trana Wintour. Yes.
Thank you. That's such a nice intro.
You're welcome. You're a superstar. You need a nice.
Oh my god!
Like
thank
that.
You.
So, question. Yes. I know that what. So now you're known as Trana Wintour.
Yes.
What was your given name?
I'd rather not say it.
Okay.
It's funny because we were talking about Bruce Jenner being transgender. And,
yes.
You know, that's how I identify. I haven't embarked on that transition process.
Okay.
I don't know if I ever will. I feel very comfortable in my own skin and my own body, but I just feel like my spirit is very much female.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think, you know, when people know your boy name or see you as a boy, it's very hard for them to understand that what you're feeling on the inside is a very different thing.
Right.
So I prefer, to not share that part with the general public.
Okay, good. Okay. And did you ever feel growing up, I mean, like you said, you don't share that. But growing up, when you would hear the name of the past, did you feel like cringing?
No, that the name, you know, it's a part of me. And obviously, I'll tell you it off, you know, when we're off the air.
Yes, yes.
It's not a secret at all. It's
right.
Just in terms of, you know, my identity as a performer. I don't want there to be any confusion about who I am and where I'm coming from. When I was a kid, the thing that made me really uncomfortable, and it still does, is when any kind of word that's very associated with masculinity would be used to describe me. You know, like if someone were to call me handsome, I used to hate that word. Mm-hmm. I hated that word. Or even today, if someone comes up to me, you know, and I know that it's not specific to me because guys talk like this to all girls. Mm-hmm. But when they say, well, you know, when they call you a dude or, you know, what's up, man? Mm. I know they say that to all girls, but that annoys me.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I try to make, we have three kids and we have two girls, and I find myself sometimes, hey guys, and I've catch myself lately,
right.
I'd say for the past couple of, this year really, I've been really every paying time, attention to that.
Every time I've said, hey guys, you've caught me on it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like,
I said, hey guys, girls, hey girls.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I saw this really cool feminist video and I thought, you know what? It does make sense. You know, like they're girls and I don't want to put that kind of, you know, guy,
I gotcha.
Guy's
I gotcha.
World label type yeah. of thing. Right. So what did you want to do growing up? Like, what was like that? You know, this is what I'm going to do when I grow up.
I've always wanted to be a performer. That's really? Been the most natural part of my being, mm-hmm. Really just innate, you know, from day one. And, you know, I think everything that I did as a child was always a performance, you know, like I was always in performer mode.
Right.
But then as I got older and I guess, you know, insecure, those awkward teenage years and, you know, the early adulthood years, I kind of disconnected from that. But when I was in university and trying to figure out what I want to do, nothing ever stuck, you know, but when I was being really honest with myself, it always came back to that idea of performing. And since I have found my way back to that, that truest part of myself, everything has fallen into place.
That's amazing. Do you feel like you're becoming more together, just being yourself as Chana, plus also starting to live your passion, that you're like, I'm feeling content and full. Like there's a sense of like fullness.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I started writing my material, you know, a good year before I actually started performing, one of the things that I kept coming back to was childhood. Mm. And I do think that so much of who we genuinely are authentically, you know, was on display so easily as children. We didn't censor ourselves when we were kids. So when I was a kid, I was always expressing my femaleness. I was always expressing that performer in me. But as we get older and as we become socialized, we become alienated mm-hmm. from those really true parts of ourselves. So right. it's sort of a mission for everyone to find your way back to that authenticity.
Yeah, that's
true. Did you find a lot of support with your friends and family?
Or total support. Okay. I've been very, very lucky in that sense.
Oh,
family and friends, that's never been an issue or a struggle. So.
And you've never had to deal with family-wise, like boys don't act like that? Or
never.
Like that. That's amazing.
Never. And so, awesome. You know, I think that's why I was able to find my way back to
right.
this, you know, because the alienation that I experienced had nothing to do with my family and friends or my home life. You know, it was really the outside world mm-hmm. That I guess, you know, frightened me from those parts of myself. And
right.
then, you know, I just sort of disconnected or hid them away. You know, they never really went away. I just didn't have them on display. You know, they were kind of on the back shelf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
Somewhere safe.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I think that, you know, I think people go in one of two directions when they sort of feel attacked or alienated, whatever you want to call it. You
right.
either pretend to be someone else mm-hmm. and change who you are, or you go into hiding.
Wow.
And I definitely went into hiding to protect those parts of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't feel like I could share it with everyone.
Damn. When did it click? When did it was like, you know what? I'm tired of this. I need to unleash the trueness of myself.
It's going to sound crazy, but it was Halloween 2008, I think, when Lady Gaga was kind of just becoming famous, when she was still fun and had a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And
I miss that Gaga.
I know, so do I. And so I dressed up as her for Halloween, and it was the first time that I had, you know, expressed my femaleness in a long time. And for me, that wasn't even really a thought. I just wanted to dress up like her. And when I was dressed up like her and I saw myself in the mirror, it was this major, major moment for me. It really felt like I was seeing myself right. for the first time since I was a kid.
Oh, that's
wow.
Honestly. And I just looking in the mirror and seeing myself that way and feeling so good about what I saw reflected,
right.
That just changed everything.
Wow.
Incredible.
That is incredible. Did you, like, what was the feeling after? Were you feeling like, I feel creative?
No turning back.
Yeah.
It was all of that. I feel creative. I feel ready to be this person out in the open. I feel fearless. I feel beautiful. It was really the first time that I ever really felt good about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a major moment. And then, you know, once you experience that, there's no turning back, you know? So it just became more about being that and feeling that way every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then, so how did comedy get into all of that in terms of the creative aspect?
Like I was saying, you know, that performer side of me.
Yeah.
But I never knew what shape it would take because I always had so many interests, writing and, you know, public speaking and acting and singing and fashion and all of these things. But there was never one in particular that I could settle with. There was never one in particular that I felt I could really devote myself to.
Right.
And then, you know, in the past couple of years when I was feeling this, you know, reawakening and this really, you know, arriving at my truth moment, I discovered the work of Sandra Bernhardt and the way that she marries writing and storytelling and performance and, you know, fashion and everything. And she brings it together. And it was really like, oh my God, this is what I've been looking for. Like, this is the template, you know?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I never thought in a million years I would do comedy.
Really?
Never.
What did you think? What was the first instinctual creative? Like, were you thinking more fashion before comedy? Were you thinking?
I was
music?
Thinking of all of those things
yeah.
at different points.
Yeah.
But then I would kind of abandon them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then I realized that through comedy and through being on stage, I can bring all these elements together.
Yeah, that's you know? True. That's true. I can completely relate when we had that conversation, you and I, is I know how what you meant, you know, because I was a kid myself where I felt like I denied a lot of
mm-hmm.
that creative side of me. But we're going to continue with some more conversation on this. Let's head over to the CJD News Traffic Center with Chris. What's going on the road?
You better work.
This is Open Mic Night on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back, everybody, to Open Mic on CJAD 800 with myself, Clove, and Shirley.
Yes, turn to the left. Now turn to the right. Sashay. Chante. I love RuPaul. That is someone that I want in my black girl posse.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. RuPaul is amazing. I love RuPaul. Like, the first time I saw this video, I'm like, I love her.
Do you remember how we talked about giving direct feedback when it's needed?
Yeah.
RuPaul is the master of that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. RuPaul Drag Race, are you a fan?
I am. I love RuPaul.
Mm-hmm.
Me and RuPaul are kind of Twitter friends.
Oh, nice. Really?
Yeah. We follow each other.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. And Ru actually, like talking about, you know, how I sort of came to this moment in my life and everything, RuPaul's memoir, Letting It All Hang Out, was a major thing for me.
Mm.
Like, that book is transformative.
What Very was cool. it about that book? Was there? Do you remember that specific part of the book that
you Well, the connected? Essence of the book and RuPaul's journey, and I think a lot of people don't realize this about RuPaul, but RuPaul is this very, like, spiritual being
mm-hmm.
That's very inspiring.
A lot of wisdom
mm-hmm. And you know, he doesn't claim that the wisdom that he shares in the book is wisdom that he invented. Obviously these are universal truths, but just the way that he packages it and the way that he shares the message and shares what he's learned
mm-hmm.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just about embracing yourself, being creative, coloring with all the crayons in your box.
Yeah, nice. I like that.
As he says, which is my favorite quote. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. And he's very, like you said, Clove, he's really great at giving feedback.
Oh, master communicator.
If you really have to pay attention on that show, there's things in there a manager can learn. You know, if you're a manager, a director, whatever, just the way that he gives feedback.
Specifically
is...
dealing with creatives.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Which queen do you feel from RuPaul's Drag Race?
I actually only watched the last season. I haven't seen seasons 1 through 5.
Okay.
But on the last season, my favorite was Ben de la Creme.
Oh, yeah. Remember Ben?
No.
You didn't see the last season.
No, I didn't.
No.
I felt he was the most genuine and the most loving and the most authentic. So.
Yeah. I like Ben. I like Bianca from the first.
I mean, I loved her, too. Like, she's a pro, and she deserved to win. There's no question.
Yeah, definitely.
Which one was it that Nina Flowers?
That's the first one.
That's the first one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nina, she's got my heart.
That's my girl right
there. Yeah. Nobody mess with Nina. You know, I was looking at, I haven't had a chance to check you out live yet, and I look forward to it. So I was, you know, doing some digging and saw some videos of your comedy. And you know what I like about yours? It has a monologue mixed with story time, like a story. I love comedians who give stories.
Thank you. That's my style. That's where I come from. Mm-hmm. You know, like as we were talking before, growing up, that was a huge part of me as well. That the writer aspect, the storyteller. That's what it comes down to for me.
Yeah.
It's really about storytelling and sharing stories with an audience and connecting with an audience and having this moment of exchange with an audience.
Yeah, Shirley and I definitely gravitate towards that type of entertainment.
Me too.
Yeah.
Always. Mm-hmm. I need something, you know, that has a little substance.
Yeah. I want to get to know you as well.
Me
right?
too. I don't want to just hear a bunch of observations that anyone can make. I need, you know, and if you're going to make general observations, it should still be rooted very much in your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel, you know, that's important to any kind of performer, that kind of truth.
Who do you think is the most overrated comic at the moment?
Oh my God, you're going to get me in trouble.
Does it have to be local?
No, I wasn't going to say anyone local.
Okay.
I'm not, hello, please. Yeah. I'm a smart girl.
Yeah, okay.
I really think Louis C.K. is supremely overrated,
okay.
And so is Sarah Silverman.
Gotcha. Really?
Yeah.
I agree with the Sarah Silverman, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. You know, obviously, both of these people are doing phenomenally well. Good right. for them.
Yes.
I have nothing against them. It's just that kind of, it just doesn't speak to me at all, at all.
What about, like, a Kevin Hart?
I haven't seen... You're not a fan, are you? I haven't
that was
really,
rich.
I haven't really seen much, but I have to admit, these sort of like blockbuster comedians, you know, these mega successful comedians, very few of them do I enjoy. I feel they're lacking an edge.
Mm-hmm.
I always find it when I... Like, if I see a comedian and I hear their routine, I hear their set, and I enjoy it, and then I hear that same set or routine on another show that they're on. I always kind of feel like they cheated on me a little bit. I mean, I always feel like...
Don't feel cheated.
Okay.
Because it takes a lot of time and work, you know, just to even come up with like a solid 30 minutes
right,
of material.
Right.
So, you know, when a comedian puts together like an hour special, you know, they're going to be working that material for, you know, a good year.
Really right. squeezing it out.
Well, you have
to. In the clubs and
you
stuff
know?
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I'd play a fun quiz, or I don't know, like quiz question. Okay,
da-da,
I don't know what to call
it. Da-da. We're going to do a quiz.
Questions.
Nice, there you go.
Nice, honey. So here are the comedians. Sandra Bernhardt, Charlene Yee. Do you know who that is?
No.
She was in, okay, you don't know who that is. We'll move on. Tina Fey.
Yes.
Okay, Amy Poehler, Sarah Silverman. Kathy Griffin, Joan Rivers, Chelsea Handler, Gilda Radner.
Love.
Roseanne Barr and Whoopi Goldberg. So those are your choices. And here's my question related to these female awesome, funny ladies.
It's a lot of choices. It's like going in a Baskin Robbins.
Yeah, exactly.
Can only pick one.
Out of these female comedians, who would you go out and hit the clubs with? And you can only pick one of them.
Was Margaret Cho on the list?
Oh, you know what? That's a good one.
That's who I want to go out in the clubs with.
That's a good, I would Margaret Cho for sure. How about to get you soup when you have a cold?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, I guess
we'd have some fun soupy moments.
Yes. To see a movie, a sad movie, actually.
Tina Fey.
Yeah.
I want to see a little emotion from her.
Right.
I agree.
You know, I feel like that's where her and Amy differ. And I just finished reading Amy Poehler's book and I'm obsessed with it. It's amazing. I love her. Mm-hmm. Amy is much more, you know, spiritual, giving, loving. Tina is fantastic and I love her, but there's a coldness.
She's like logical.
Yeah,
you think?
There's a coldness.
Very
yeah.
technical with her yeah. writing.
So I'm going to bring Tina to a sad movie.
Yes.
Okay. How about a happy movie, a comedy flick?
I guess Kathy Griffin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
We'd be really loud in the theater. Everyone will hate us.
Yes.
I am so not a fan of Kathy Griffin.
Oh, I'm not gosh. Really either.
Oh, gosh. Who would you slut it out in Vegas?
Slut it out?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, I have to go with Margaret again.
Yeah.
You know, Margaret is just always up for a sexual adventure. She is, you know, uninhibited. You know, she would take me out of my comfort zone
true,
for sure.
True, right. true. And who do you think would make you feel better after a breakup?
Sandra, my homegirl, my hero, my idol, everything. She's
you
everything.
Met her. You had a chance to meet her.
Several times. She's just the greatest. I can't praise her enough. Oh. I can't praise her enough.
And the last one, to be your best friend for life.
Sandra.
Yeah.
Sandra.
So you have some upcoming shows. You're going to be really busy February.
Yeah, this month is crazy.
I mean, tomorrow you're at the Comedy Nest.
Yes, for the amazing Open Michelle all-female comedy night starting
nice.
Tomorrow.
Nice. And then Emma Wilkie's coming up actually in the next hour, so she'll be performing at the Open Michelle.
Yeah, she'll be comedy there too Nest tomorrow. Too. She's
very
amazing.
Cool. Very cool.
And then February 12th and the 14th, you got Yuck Yucks. February 16th, the 902 Comedy Show. February 27th to the 28th, Comedy Works. And then on the 31st, you got a one-woman show called Put the Heels On.
Yeah, it's happening at Mainline Theater.
Nice. It's not going to be those heels that I'm seeing right
no,
now.
No, they're going to be higher.
Bam.
Yeah.
Wow.
And people can find you on Facebook, facebook.com/ Trana Wintour.
Yes.
Yes, and on Twitter as well, Trana Wintour. Thanks so much for hanging out.
It was such a blast. You guys are amazing.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. And you definitely have to come and hang out with us at the chonilla.com layer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Where we
things are going to get even more real.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Thank you for playing all my favorite songs tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. You know, I think we got a few more minutes or so, right? Did you have any other questions?
No.
I'm what about good. You, honey? I'm curious. Who would you, you know, go out of the clubs? Which female funny ladies?
Out of that list?
Yeah.
Can you run that list by me again?
Sandra Bernhardt, yeah. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
To the clubs?
I'd go to the clubs with Amy Poehler.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I could see her say, I want some French toast.
I could see her getting really excited when we start yelling shots, 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 shots.
Be on top of the bar.
Oh, yeah. Her blouse is up.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Woo! And actually, I wanted to ask you that. Who would you want to share the stage with?
Oh, my God.
If you had to do, like, a duo vaudeville kind of act.
Well, you know, it's Sandra all the way.
All the way.
Or Liza Minnelli.
Liza Minnelli.
I think me and Liza could put on a great show together.
Has Sandra shared an advice for you when it came to comedy? What's the best advice she gave you?
It's a muscle. Comedy is a muscle. Mm. And no one's born with a muscle. You have to work it out. You got to build that muscle.
Right.
And the only way to build it is just to keep doing it, and, you know, just keep at it.
Just put your time in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, very, very true. You know, for me, I would want best friend for life would be Amy Poehler.
Amy yeah. would be such a great friend to have.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have this thing called White Girl Posse, and she's part of it. Her and Kristen Wiig.
Yes, amazing.
Gwen Stefani, because
yes.
woo, the girl style is
I love her forever.
Yeah. So she would help me, like, look.
I'm addicted
good.
To her shoe line. Addicted.
Oh, I haven't seen much of her shoe line yet, but she has these cool boots. Anywho, we can get into it further, but let's head over to the CJAD Traffic Center and see what's going on the road since it's slowing down. Right, Chris?
Well, actually, we'll go to me first. We'll do the news.
Okay, Andrew.
Just because.
Okay.
Anyway.
Some news with Andrew.
You're listening to Open Mic Night on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back, everybody.
Yay, we're back.
Yay. You're listening to CJAD 800 with your Open Mic Night host, myself, Clove.
And myself, Shirley.
That is correct.
I am the chocolate to your milk. And you are my milk to my coffee.
How awesome was that for Trana Winter?
Yes, I know.
That was amazing.
I've heard so many great things about Trana.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And it was exciting to finally get to meet her. And I'm more excited that she'll be joining the Chonilla.com layer.
Oh, yeah. She's going places.
And that, yes, she is. And then we'll be having deeper fun. Not that this isn't fun, but deeper adult-like.
More inebriated conversations.
Sure. So we'll tweet that on our Twitter at Chonilla.com. That's D-O-T when we're doing it live video stream. So you get to hear us and see us.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at Clovisaurus.
And you could follow me at Shirasaurus.
Mm-hmm. And that way you'll know when the new episodes are dropping.
Cool.
Yeah.
I have some, I thought I'd have some fun questions for tonight before we have our next guest, Emma Wilkie.
Let's do this.
Funny lady as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can join in the fun as well. Give us a call, 514-790-0800.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you could text as well at 514-800. So, okay, here's the fun question.
All right.
What's one television show you can't go a day without? Like, you need to always check out this show.
Oh, my gosh. One television show that I always need to check out.
Yeah. It could be one or two. Sure.
Yeah, you know, I guess that would be like currently running.
Sure, it could be current. It could be an old
man.
School.
The show that's coming to mind is American Horror Stories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the first thing that popped in my head.
Have you seen? Well, we've been watching or catching up to the latest season, right?
Yeah, the circus one. Yeah.
I find it a little dark.
One. It's pretty dark.
I mean, I know they're all pretty dark.
Yeah.
But there's something about that one. It's like my mind has to be at a mood.
Well, I think they have to up their last show, right? Like their last season.
Yeah.
They gotta definitely make it better, make it hotter, make it darker.
Right. Yeah. So I'm still catching up, so we'll see. I just hope it doesn't get more darker or something.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to what's that one with Terrence Howard?
Oh, Empire.
Empire, yeah. I'm looking forward to following up on that one, yeah.
I only watch Empire for Cookie.
Yes.
The that's played by Taraji Henson or something like that.
You lost me at Taraji. I know who you're talking about.
But Cookie's character is amazing.
Yes, Cookie is amazing.
And I just constantly want her to walk into meetings. Because the way that she does it and the digs, they're amazing.
Yeah.
I'm learning so much.
What's the next question?
Do you remember what your mom's purse smelled like?
Yes, I do.
Growing up.
Yes, it smelled like foundation powder and, well, makeup powder, I guess, and cigarettes.
Nice.
But not like ashtray cigarettes, but like cigarettes that are still in their cigarette pack.
Oh, okay, so it's that new
like
cigarette.
Like fresh tobacco versus like burnt tobacco. Yeah.
Oh, okay. My mom was foundation powder.
Mm-hmm.
And Haitian coconut bread.
Mm.
And I used to go into her purse because I don't know, I guess my mom likes to always snack, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would, I would sneak into her purse and always take a piece out of the coconut bread. And then eventually it would just get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Right, right.
And then I knew it was too much when she start freaking out, like, who's going into my purse?
So wait, are you telling me that your mom had a piece of bread in her purse that she would just pick at?
Yeah, but it's like not a
like
bread.
Like over the course of a day?
It's round. It's like like she'd always have coconut bread in her purse.
Come on.
Yeah.
And she'd just pick at it?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, she always would pick at it.
That's amazing. Okay.
Do you remember the weirdest thing that you've seen inside your mom's purse or that she pulled out of her purse?
Oh, no. No, I can't say anything stands out with that. Yeah.
Me, it's...
I remember my mom having really big wallets.
Yeah?
I remember, yeah, she had really big wallets. She had, like, a ton of cards. She had, like a bunch of stuff spilling out of her wallet.
I think most moms, it's like that.
Huge change purses. You know what I mean? Like, just, yeah.
I refused to be that mom.
Yeah?
Yeah. I started getting towards that. My wallet started getting bigger and bigger. And one day I realized, do I really need to carry this card?
Right.
That's a card that could stay at home.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, well, when you're growing up, when you're growing into your adulthood, you really don't know when or if you'll need stuff. So you just kind of start...
Yeah, I got tired of carrying the if and when my stuff wallet that too. Was taking space.
Yeah, my wallet's gotten significantly smaller.
Yeah, yours is
thinner,
really...
I should say. Yeah.
Because
before I used to have like triple-decker wallets with like extra secret compartments.
How do men do it? How do they sit on that?
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I don't know. I don't do it, so I don't know.
I had a there was a guy I spoke with in regards to the wallet, and his mom, which I thought was crazy, never had a purse growing up.
Wow, okay.
And his mom just always had, even, you know, I said, well, what did she do during the summer? Doesn't she wear summer dresses?
Yeah.
You know, she always managed to wear something with a pocket. All the time.
That's funny.
Here's another one. What's one song that every time you hear it, it makes you remember of a bad breakup?
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm.
What is a song that makes me think of a bad breakup?
Yeah.
Bon Jovi, You Give Love a Bad Name. Shot through the heart. And you're too late. You give love.
What did
a
she
bad
do?
Bad name.
What did she do?
Oh man, she was just like she was just the girl that everybody liked. You know what I mean? Yeah.
She turned you down?
A couple times, yeah.
Oh, you asked? Yeah.
Well, a lot of guys in my class were asking her out and stuff like that, and just, you know, just I, man, this was like grade 8. You know what I mean? So like all the guys were just like, oh my God, you're awesome. You're hot. Whatever, whatever. Giving her all this attention. So she was just being selective, right?
Yeah.
But there was this one time because she was also doing the back and forth Toronto-Montreal thing.
Oh.
And what had happened was we winded up being on a return bus back to Toronto from Montreal. And we sat together and yeah, you know, it was a good time.
Did you make out?
I think we did.
You think?
Yeah. Me thinks we did. Yeah. I just remember being so, like, scared that the next 6 hours of my life was going to be next to this really hot girl that I really liked. Yeah.
Me, it's holding back. I think Simply Red. I think.
Simply Red. Okay.
Yeah. Holding back the.
Oh yeah.
Something
okay.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That it makes me think of all the breakups.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many breakups have you had that Simply Red has come to the rescue?
Maybe a couple, not too many.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too many. And the last one, what kind of old lady or gentleman do you think you are going to be?
I'm going to be probably an old perv.
Okay. Cool. I'm going to say, oh, don't just ignore him, young lady, and cross the street. We'll be back after this. We got to pay the bills.
That's right.
So stay tuned. We'll be talking to Emma Wilkie coming up right here on CJAD.
This is Open Mic Night on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Turn me
inside out and round and round. I hope we're turning you upside down and inside out.
Yes.
While you're listening to us.
I'm having so much fun tonight.
I am too. I'm not freaking out. We got Emma Wilkie.
She just walked into the studio right now as we speak.
Joining us with our foot soldier Rich here.
Yes.
See, what was I saying?
So you wanted to play Say No to a Jerk.
Yes, I wanted to play Say No to a Jerk, and I'm hoping Rich and Emma will be able to join us on this game as they're setting up.
Hello?
How you doing, Emma?
I'm good.
Did you, Did you find your way? Nice to meet you as well.
Yeah.
It's all pretty quick, right? It's all like, show up, get in the booth. Here we go. Let's get started. Here. We're on the air. Let's do this.
Go, go, go. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I got stuck in the elevator on the way up. So that was really awesome.
Oh, nice. No. Very nice. How did you get out? It almost happened to us, too. I was getting
I almost called that emergency button on the elevator. I've never done that before, but I was like, well, maybe now.
Yeah. As long as you weren't alone.
I wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't you wish you had my mom's purse? My mom always carried coconut bread in her purse, and that would be really helpful.
Yup. That was the only thought going through my mind.
Where's my coconut bread now?
I wish I had coconut bread. I could jam it in the keyhole and turn the, I don't know, make it go faster.
MacGyver that thing, right? Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying.
I could stand on it and climb out of the elevator. I don't know.
MacGyver bread.
Yes. Yeah. So here's the idea of Say No to the Jerk. I share some interesting, weird, trending news at times. I'd like to know, sometimes you might choose the easy person to target who's the jerk, right? But you know, you never know. Everybody might see something or someone else, mm-hmm. or the situation or environment to be the jerk too, right?
And it may inspire a conversation. New evidence might arise that we may change our minds to who the actual jerk is.
Yes.
So
here's one of them about a comic book fan who cut off his nose to become the red Nazi skull of his dream.
That's the hotness right there.
So the guy on the right is the guy in a movie.
Yeah.
And the guy on the left you know, the worst thing is that he doesn't even look like the guy.
That's what's weird about it. Somebody obviously is lying to him.
Yeah.
It's the guy who cut off his nose. He's like, oh, yeah, you look just like him.
Right.
Yeah, and who would do that?
I don't know, man.
He went to a doctor, and the doctor's like, sure.
Yeah. Well, here's the details. He's 37 years old. It's Henry Damon is his name. And
Henry Demon.
Nice.
That's what I call him.
Yep. Fitting.
Yeah. He's happily married. He already has like the bumps on his forehead and arms. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he met this brilliant surgeon who specializes in extreme body modification and just knew that this was his opportunity to do it. The surgeon who Henry went to was Emilio Gonzalez, who dropped out of medical school to concentrate on tattooing and extreme body surgery.
Wow.
Yeah, this guy's a winner.
Yeah.
So he said,
he's
first...
catch for sure.
Yeah. He said, first I had to ensure that a person is 100% healthy with no respiratory disease.
Uh-huh.
And he asked for a tomography of the nose and sinuses to assure him that it's okay for the surgery. In addition, a nasal mucus sample was taken to make sure that there's no infection.
So they did it right, is what they're saying. They're saying
they're going to
cut
diligence.
Somebody's nose off.
Don't do this. Yeah. Let's do this
If the guy, if he had a nasal infection, it would just all be gone?
It'd be leaky. Yeah.
No, sorry, we can't do this.
Yeah, because then...
Come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Take two and call me in the morning. But what I'm saying, I'm seeing this picture.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, our noses have a filter that's, you know, attached to the... To the nostrils, which is the hair. He's just completely removed all filters from breathing from his nose.
So does that mean, like,
he's more susceptible to getting ill,
It just goes right into his face.
Yeah, right into his lungs.
Yeah, and his wife is totally, I mean, obviously, he's cool.
He's married?
It. Yeah.
No.
He's married.
What does she look like? Swamp lady?
Thing.
That's the joke. She's like totally hot.
Right. So who or what is the jerk in this story? Do you think it's his wife? The surgeon Emilio?
I'm team surgeon.
Or Henry himself?
Yeah, I'm team surgeon is the jerk.
Yeah, for doing this?
Yeah.
I'd say the surgeon's the jerk, but I don't... Maybe his parents or something.
His parents actually say he's a good guy and they're cool with it,
He's bondable, so I guess that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are, is he getting a bunch of crazy comments on that, the photo that he done? I don't think there's anybody who's like, right on, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Well.
Well done. I wish I did that.
But I'm sure he can start to become like a Comic-Con career, you know, like cosplayer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, finally. Cool. Good.
I wish I could do this Red Death thing, but this damn nose.
It's just that nose that's getting in the way of my career as a cosplayer.
Last year it was just all face paint, and they're like, you're just faking it, man.
Yeah.
Go home.
Oh, look at that. He's like,
I'm nightmares. Nightmares now.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you.
Sorry. But I knew there was another guy that I had seen. He wanted his nose to look like a lion's nose.
That's cool.
So what he did is he clipped the nostrils like around so that it looked like a lion.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of a little more subtle.
Yeah, it is.
Cute a little bit, maybe.
Doesn't look as mutilated as this, you know?
Right.
This guy looks like a fire victim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like one of those people that someone threw acid in their face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone got a face transplant and they're like, look at how beautiful he is.
Yeah,
now.
If you want to see what we're talking about, just Google comic book fan.
Everybody's like, yeah.
You're so strong. You're so brave.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
If you want to see the picture, just Google comic book fan. Cuts off nose and you'll see the image that we're talking about.
Hashtag no makeup.
Yeah. Here's another one. Who's the jerk on this one? This barber punishes kids by giving them an old man haircut.
I saw that.
Right?
That is so cool.
So he did this.
It's called the principal special.
Yeah. Yeah. The RoboCop Murphy look.
Nice.
So if your kid is acting out, and Rusty Fred in Snellville, Georgia, will take care of it.
That's the barber's name, Rusty Fred.
Well, Fred is his name. He's the owner, actually.
I love it.
A1 Cuts.
He's just a little rusty.
Yeah. He's a father of three. And he got the idea after his son, his own son, who's 12 years old, began to fall behind school. So after the cut, he noticed his grades dramatically improve. So he began advertising the cut to other parents who were looking for a safe way to straighten out their own kids, their kids' behavior. In an interview in the Washington Post, Fred said, there are a few people that are saying it's emotional abuse, but on average, everyone is applauding the mother that brought the child in and applauding me as well. I guess he has a hashtag, but why is that fade so clean, though?
Yeah.
I was just going to say that it wasn't that clean. The fade actually is not that clean.
No, he needs to practice on more kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw the photos of those kids. I think they look super cute with those old van haircuts. I think he should draw little mustaches on them, too.
Yeah.
Some old man glasses.
Wouldn't it be funny if these kids could walk in and buy cigarettes and alcohol now?
Oh, my God.
Or what if they started talking like old men and, like, oh, in my day.
Yeah, back in my day. Oh, my God.
All they're missing is the suit. They should force them to go to school with a suit too.
Oh man.
You're all in a briefcase.
And a briefcase. Well, yeah.
Briefcases is the cutest thing. Dude.
And you make the suit like two sizes too big.
And he's smoking a cigarette. You're like, put that out, young man.
I've never seen you don't see kids with briefcases anymore.
No.
Was that a thing?
I think every
high school had one or two guys that had a briefcase.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah man.
Sure. I remember the guy.
I may have had a briefcase as a kid. Yeah, it was definitely just full of candy, though.
Was it? Nice.
Yeah. I just remember that right now.
That's the first thing you thought of when you were caught in the elevator, right? You're like, where's my briefcase full of candy?
That was my, yes, you know, totally equivalent.
So do you think it's child abuse or it's a legitimate form of punishment?
I don't see anything wrong with it. I think it's cute as hell.
I think it's, sorry. I think once it hits the social media thing, I think that where the humiliation becomes, if you're humiliating your kid to the point that it can become viral,
keep it
private, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe teach that kid how to laugh at himself.
There you go.
The kid did look pretty shameful in those photos.
Look at how many kids are laughing at you. Laugh with them.
Are you going to straighten out? Yeah. Now? Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one thing I say to our kids. Extreme behavior, then you'll have extreme punishment.
Yeah, that's how I got this.
Just saying, Clove. That was not me. That was the street of MTL.
This is good. This is good radio, guys.
Sorry.
He's got a bruise on his face. I don't know what happened.
Shirley's what happened.
For those of you who are only listening to the audio portion of this radio show.
We're going to take a break. There's some bills that needs to be paid.
Already?
And we'll talk further with Emma Wilkie. Get to know her a little bit more.
We got to do something with these bills.
Yes.
Mama said, you're a pretty girl, what's in your head, it doesn't matter.
You're listening to Open Mic Night on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Well, it's all that matters, just another stage.
Well, welcome back, everyone.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I hope you've been enjoying the past hour and a half hanging out with us.
I've been having a blast.
Me too. Shirley, Joseph here, and Clove Roy.
Mm-hmm.
We are from, we have a podcast, by the way. If you've been having fun and listening to us, check us out there, chonilla.com.
Yeah, it's a little bit more grown up, the conversations.
See. At times, not too safe for
There is an explicit warning.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You gotta be grown. Grown. Okay. If you can't say grown, you can't listen.
No.
We got another guest. She's a stand-up comedian by day, stretchy yeti by night.
Oh, from Twitter. Thanks.
Yes,
you did your research.
Yes. that's it. No, she lives with a roommate who thinks he's Batman.
Oh, nice. Oh my gosh, nice. Famous.
And she is the host of There's Something Funny Going On every Monday at the Blue Dog Motel. Let's welcome again Emma Wilkie.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Everyone's waving.
Yes. Hi. I was doing the, like, you remember, have you seen The Muppets? You ever seen The Muppet Show?
And what is that?
Oh, my God.
No, I've seen The Muppets.
Oh, because I said I'm done. I'm old.
Huh?
But you know, they do, like, yeah, their little hands
That's
are playing everywhere. Yeah. I love
it. Okay, no, I totally got
it. Yeah. How's it going? How's your week?
It's good. Week? It's good. I'm recovering from, I'm almost losing my voice.
Oh, no.
Now, but I,
Have you been on stage a lot lately? Is that why you're losing your voice?
Yeah, just yelling, talking to it. And then now when I lose my voice, I think it sounds so cool. And then I just want to talk all the time.
You know
what? It's way worse.
That's funny because our oldest daughter has been trying to talk excessively because she wants that losing my voice sound.
Yeah, man. Yes. Emma Stone has a story with why she talks like that.
Right.
She just screamed for 5 years straight.
Yeah.
You know? And now she sounds like a smoker.
Yeah. No, I think they say like colicky babies wind up that she was a colicky baby or something like that.
Colicky babies.
And that's why she has the voice like that. I love...
Colicky babies?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No. Not even my kids, let alone other people's kids. With a colicky baby, I'm sorry. Yes, he's cute, but he needs to
He coughs
shut
too
it.
Much. Yeah. Keeps me up at night.
He needs a haircut.
Crying too much.
An old man haircut.
Yeah. But, oh gosh, I lost my train of thought. Oh, well.
Moving on.
My week was good. Thank you for asking.
Okay. So you're a stand-up comedian. You've been doing it for quite a while?
Yeah, about coming up to 4 years now.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, it's really fun. And I've been running the show at Blue Dog with my co-producer, Rashta Kruger, for... We just passed 3 years.
Nice. Oh.
Yeah.
How did the show come about? How did
making moves?
Rashta was running it, and we just teamed up 3 years ago. I showed up at the bar and said, "Hey, you and me, babe, let's work together.
Let's make this happen."
I don't know, something like that.
And I wish I can go into partnership and businesses like that with everybody. Like, hey.
Me, you, make money now.
Yeah, something cavemanish like that. I think I was just so excited that I my excitement was what sold it. And she's like, okay, let's do it. Yeah, cool.
Awesome.
And are you born and raised in Montreal?
No, I'm from Vancouver originally. I've been here for Yeah.
Yeah.
Vanity proper.
What made you move here? I mean, no, just I love Montreal. You're cool and everything, but Vancouver is beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, I moved here with a boy.
Oh, yeah.
We ended up getting married. We are divorced. Well, no, we're separated now. I haven't seen him in years.
Okay. But not legally divorced.
No. Yeah, I keep forgetting that.
It's like in your to-do list, and then it's just...
We'll get to it.
Not even. Like, Mary, oh yeah, I am. Oh yeah.
And what made you get into comedy? What were you doing before comedy?
I was just going to school. I studied design, and then my friend took Joey Elias' comedy course.
Yeah, cool.
And I knew for a fact that she just wanted to do that, and it be her thing. Mm-hmm. But I was like... Oh, no. I'm doing this with you. I'm sorry. And I totally fell in love with it. It was awesome.
Oh, that's... What was that first time getting on stage? Was that... I mean, still... I look at comedians. I know, Clove, you mentioned that with Kate when we first met her.
I would throw up if I had to go up on stage like that.
It was immediately really addictive because, like, I think that everyone is always just going through life trying to figure out who they are by reflecting off of other people. And so comedy is a way to do that in a big scale.
Right.
And so, you know, when people laugh, it's because they're saying something that they relate to. And you're like, oh my God, they're like, I'm not going through this alone if they laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that gratification and you find out who you are and you're like, holy shit.
I'm not taking crazy pills. Yeah.
Excuse my language. Yeah. And
yeah,
and it's like a drug though. That's a huge high for people to laugh at what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't like public speaking, but when I do get the opportunity to do it, and I think the largest room I spoke to was like 300 people, and I thought I was gonna die before I went on, and then afterwards it was a rush that it's unparalleled to anything I could describe.
Yeah, it's incredibly rewarding to realize. Wow, what I'm saying people actually want to hear? That's crazy.
Right.
I'm not just kind of floating along in space by myself. Sweet.
Yeah.
How do you deal? Have you ever had hecklers or is that a thing
you're into? Oh, yeah, all the time. I'm really bad at dealing with them. I usually just, I don't know, try to take a selfie with them or something. Yeah, my first heckler. Come here, buddy.
I made it. Hey, I'm curious. What do you hate about Montreal? I wanted to ask that to Chana earlier.
Oh, yeah? What did she say?
No, I didn't have a chance to ask her that yet.
Oh, okay. I hate Chana. No. I hate the crazy people in the metros.
Yeah.
They're really scary, man. Yeah. They're bringing their troubles into this public space. And there's a lot of people with mental illness in the metros.
Yeah.
And they're violent.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it.
Yeah. I was waiting for a bus outside of Saint-Laurent metro station. And there was twice it's happened where these guys, and they're really vocal.
Yeah,
they really want to engage you in an aggressive way.
Yeah.
And there was a time that one of them got on the bus and just it went from everybody that was sitting down and engaged each and every person, but very aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I talked about it on our show, and because I felt really bad that I wasn't the hero that, you know, stepped in and said, "Hey, man, quit bugging everybody."
Yeah.
But it's a real thing.
But it's dangerous to do that.
I know.
Mm-hmm. I was on the metro a couple weeks ago. And this guy just kind of sitting quietly just took a beer bottle out of his bag and smashed it on the wall of the train.
Nice.
Whoa, right above my head. And there's all these people around.
Oh, my goodness.
And I looked at him and our eyes locked. And I just thought, oh, man, that was a mistake. Like, don't concentrate on me. And everyone was just frozen in fear that this guy brought his own personal problems into other people's space.
Yeah. When we first moved to Montreal, I was working with a guy who said 6 months before, when he had first moved to Montreal, he was sitting on the bus and some guy wound up getting stabbed in the neck.
What?
Like I was sitting next to him, yeah.
What am I complaining
what do you mean
about?
Somebody just... right?
I'm just saying
came out of nowhere and did that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the mental illness is real, yeah.
Oh, and actually,
indie streets.
A while ago, Trana was on the metro. Somebody random just came right up and punched her in the face.
What?
Oh my,
isn't that
goodness.
Insane? I know she posted on Facebook and got a lot of love back from people supporting her. But for no reason, you know?
And ran away, right?
Of course. Right. You know? It just jars you.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't know what to do about it. I mean,
yeah.
But. Wow. So,
On something a little bit more positive, what do you love about Montreal?
I love
the crazy people.
Yeah. The crazy people.
They're entertaining and they give you comedy content.
Yeah,
it's true. I like the crazy people that are like having full conversations with their therapists, but at an inanimate object.
Wow.
Like.
I haven't seen that yet.
I saw this guy yelling at a garbage can, but it was like he was like in couples therapy and just yelling stuff like, yeah, but she was only saying that. You see what she's doing to me? No, I love you, baby, too. You drive me crazy. And he was just yelling this at a garbage can. It made my day.
I don't feel sexy anymore.
Yeah. We used to love each other so, and the thrill is gone.
You used to leave me some food.
Yeah, you used to write me love notes.
And he's just digging in the garbage at the same time. So, it's like yin and yang, man. It evens out. There's the good crazies and the bad crazies.
Yeah. That's true.
I call them content crazy and runaway crazy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I get the garbage? That's awesome. Where is that guy? What corner is he?
He
at?
Was down by Guy Concordia. Nice. It's the kind of person you see and you're like, that guy is like recently crazy.
Right.
He still has clean clothes on. You're like, he probably went crazy like 4 days ago.
Right. Yeah.
He's still got a couple bucks left in the bank.
Yeah. Right. Really bad breakup.
I get weirded out on the metro, you know, because there's those little covert spots that I guess don't have like cameras or anything like that. And they usually hang out right there where you turn the corner down this hallway.
Yeah.
And it's a surprise, you know.
They're like,
oh my goodness.
On the surprise,
still have no change.
On the surprise note, let's go check traffic and news. Right here, stay tuned.
This is Open Mic Night on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Open Mic Night on CJAD 800 with your host, myself, Chloe.
And Shirley.
Yeah.
And our special guest, Emma Wilkie.
Yes.
Hi.
Hanging out with us too.
Hey!
This is a new thing. I love visual gags on radio. This is
Muppet.
Great. Yeah, it works. On
Muppet
all levels.
We just all wave.
Just waving our hands like Muppets.
Yeah, it's for us.
Yeah.
Only for us.
Hey, look over there, guys. Oh, that's...
Did you see that? That was awesome.
We should play Pictionary.
Yes.
Charades.
I was just asking you, so you're going to be part of the first edition of Comedy Nest's new monthly all-female show.
Right.
Open Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it called Open Michelle? Do you know?
Yeah, actually, Peter Radomski was just explaining this the other day.
Okay.
In other cities, like in New York and stuff, it's a commonly known name for a show that only girls can go to.
Oh.
As opposed to an open mic, it's called an open mic. I thought he came up with it, but it's apparently already a thing. So.
Open Michelle night.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be just...
I like that.
All girls doing comedy.
I like it.
Not open Michaela?
You know what?
You can do whatever you want.
Emma's giving me a look like, okay.
Why not like just open Clara? I didn't make this up.
So you
open
are
open Betty.
There you go.
So you're hosting, and Trana is gonna be there.
Yeah,
performing.
Right on.
Kate Connor.
Yeah,
and Ellie.
Ellie McDonald.
Yeah.
I heard that we have special guest Bianca Yates coming in.
Nice.
Okay.
Possibly Noor Hadidi.
Oh.
Is on the show. I don't know who else, but yeah.
Cool. Sounds like fun.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. Mm-hmm. So.
And so I was wondering, which famous Emma do you see yourself hanging out, having a cocktail, you know, shoot the breeze.
Which famous Emma?
Yeah. Would you be Emma Watson or Emma...
Is that Hermione?
Yeah. Yeah. Emma Stone that we mentioned earlier. Emma Thompson.
Nice. I love her.
Yes. Or Emma Roberts.
Who's Emma Roberts?
She's in American Horror Story. The young one.
The okay. young one?
I'm not picking her anyway. So yeah. I don't know who she is.
She's actually Julia Roberts' niece or something.
Sure.
Okay, what were the choices? Emma yeah. Stone?
Besides the last one?
I guess Emma Roberts is out.
Yeah.
Emma Roberts is out.
Yeah. Emma Wilkie will not hang out and have a drink with you.
Emma Thompson would be amazing.
Yeah, right?
But I would be so intimidated by her.
Right.
I love her comment. You're like, she started doing stuff with Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie and all those guys, right?
Okay.
I don't know. So I'd say maybe not.
Emma Thompson, like, too much, that would be too much drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too serious.
She would, yeah. I'd be She's like, English, so she would, yeah, she would kill it with that.
Yeah. I'd be like, you're pretty.
My name's Emma, too.
What's your color favorite? I just, it would get all jumbled. And then maybe Emma Stone would
so
be...
So it's between Hermione...
Hermione?
Hermione, I don't know. Emma Watson or Emma Stone?
Yeah, either of them would be cool, I guess.
Yeah.
They both seem very chill people.
Yeah. Yeah. Emma Watson looks like she would be just kind of hanging out in the background, and it'd be like Emma Stone would just be talking and talking.
Yeah, you know what? lose Emma Stone. She... It would just be, I want to hang out with Hermione.
Yeah.
What's Harry Potter like? And
yeah.
Is that, I'm talking about the right person, right?
Yeah,
right.
I think so. Yeah, Emma Watson.
Yeah, she sounds cool. Let's hook it up. Let's do it.
They're okay. Let's give her a call. Let's do this.
Cool.
Hey, earlier we got a text that asked, basically in the text, did you hear about the Missouri family that staged their 6-year-old kidnapping to teach him a lesson and not to talk to strangers?
Oh,
what a
God.
Fail yeah. as parents.
Definitely fail.
Do you remember the details on that?
I don't remember the precise details, but the story, from what I understand, this kid, these adults felt that this child was too spoiled. So they wanted to teach him reality, you know, and they wanted to show him what could happen.
Reality?
Yeah. The edge case of, like, hell. Here you go.
Well, they succeeded in doing that.
Yes. Well done.
Welcome to hell. Your parents are maniacs.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You are no longer spoiled.
Yeah. Now you're prepared for life.
Yeah. Or here's another one. Have you guys seen on YouTube or any video about the angry Paget loser that rips the crown off the winner's head?
Yeah, just watched it.
Yeah. So it was at
Did she do it like a brat? Or did she like grab it and just like, and throw it down on the ground?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think she grabbed it and put it on.
Yeah. At first I thought...
She snapped it in half and threw it in the face.
At first when I saw the video, I was like, wow, sore loser. But then, just the way she yanks it, but what made me think even more is seeing the other contestant and how
clapping.
They were clapping.
They were clapping for her, right?
Right. So I thought, oh, so that's the one everybody's hating.
I think right. so, too. I think there's definitely two sides to this story.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, this girl who won is shady.
Right.
And everybody is not happy in regards to her winning.
So that girl made a stand.
Yeah, she made a stand. But supposedly... she did that because they were saying that her family basically bought the crown.
Oh, crazy.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. And so they weren't happy about that.
But they all got clapped her afterwards.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, sticking up for.
So everybody knows. Everybody knows she bought that crown.
Then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it made me think of this question. Do you think it was okay for her to yank the girl's crown like that in public, or she should have waited and handled it maybe a little bit differently?
I'm going to say with the responses that she got from the rest of the contestants that she was absolutely appropriate and it was actually the right thing to do.
I think it was perfect, too. Yeah. I think the whole point of a pageant is to be a spectacle, and she just made it way more viral, man.
Yes.
So everyone just, that's what I'm there to watch, man. Yep. I want to see the girl screaming and crying and ripping hair out.
Yes, that's what we're waiting for.
Make it ratchet.
Pageant.
Yeah.
That's what we want to see. Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing reality from backstage to on stage.
These kids nowadays.
Right? Do you ever remember a time where you were a sore loser in a competition? Or, or maybe you won and then, you know, somebody else was a sore loser? Do you ever? Rich is shaking his head like, oh, yeah. Yeah, do you remember, Rich?
Yeah, playing basketball. I think just losing, like, championship games and just feeling like, we should have won. I was just sitting there just steaming angry, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that's probably my,
I have an older sister and she definitely got, I got the short end of the stick most of the time. So I definitely am not a fan of losing.
I'm a terrible loser.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like losing. Yeah.
I was playing.
I've broken stuff before when I've lost.
I was playing Jeopardy a while ago with a friend and whoever would get more points, you know, they'd get special favors in the bedroom.
Then
that's how we play it. You know, it's a fun game.
Hot Jeopardy.
You know, Hot Jeopardy. Then,
Jeopardy After Dark.
I was getting way too into it. And like, I know this, just shut up. And you know, and just yelling the answer as soon as he started saying it, I'd say the same thing and be like, no, I said it first. I said it. And it,
you were
and,
like.
And then I realized, you know, looking back, that's probably the least sexy way to play a game. Just completely defied the point.
Yeah, it's not very good foreplay.
You know? Yeah, I just look like this little brat playing. Like, but I won!
you
owe me!
I said it first! I think there's some games out there that get people riled up.
Yeah, man.
Taboo.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Video games.
the kind of game where you throw all the pieces in the air when you're losing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess online gaming, you'd hear a whole lot of sore losers.
Bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. I tried a couple times. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, and the worst ones are like when they're 13 years old.
Yeah.
And they're swearing like sailors. It's
Man, there's a kid on YouTube that has the worst spaz ever when his mom deletes his Warcraft account.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and he just loses it and he kicks the ceiling. He just has this amazing spaz attack. It's got like 100 million views.
Yeah.
did you hear about this news about an Italian nun who got pregnant and gives birth somehow?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, she's no longer a nun and baby's fine and everything.
Shirley, I hate to jump in, but are we good for time right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
It didn't end up being like Jesus.
Nah.
That was the first thing I thought.
That was a great, like, nah.
Right.
Nah. she probably was like, Jesus? Jesus' baby?
I hope it's Jesus. Nah.
Nah.
Oh, wells.
Hashtag nah.
It's not Jesus' baby.
Oh, man.
How did that, supposedly this is like the second time this happens.
I have a theory about that, man. Mm. If it happened more than once, you know, there's got to be some sort of Italian Cosby going around all these nunneries.
Oh, my
goodness. That's what I'm talking about.
Italian Cosby.
Yeah, that's why they don't remember. Baby comes out a little black with a little sweater on it.
It's got a fro. It's Jesus's baby.
It's soaking in Jello pudding pops.
Oh, man.
Okay. Right?
This is too soon, man.
Too far, right?
I'm the one who took it too soon. Far.
Okay. Yeah.
It's too soon. Emma, thanks for hanging out.
Guys, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
So we'll check you. So you'll be on again tonight at Comedy Nest.
Tomorrow,
Comedy Nest. And also Monday, we can catch you hosting. There's something going on. Something funny going on.
There you go.
Every Monday at 9 p.m. at the Blue Dogs Motel. Thanks for hanging out. And you can check us out, chonilla.com. Just Google Chonilla. That's C-H-O-N-I-L-L-A.
And how do they join the Facebook group?
Just Chonilla.
Gotcha. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Clovisaurus.
I'm at Shearsaurus. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Thanks for being here.
Thanks,
and listening
guys.
To Open Mic Night right here on CJD. Later!